Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. God is so good. He's awesome. He's amazing. He's wonderful. We give Him all the glory and all the praise for yet another opportunity and privilege that He has given to us to come together tonight around the Word, His Word, with the saints. I trust that you are doing well, you and your family, you and your loved ones. I trust that you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord in this season. I know the weather or the season is slowly changing, and we're obviously about the past the end of the summer months. But you know what? Seasons change, but our God remains the same. He's ever faithful. He's ever loving. He's ever merciful. And His Word never changes. Glory to God. So wherever you are joining us from tonight, thank you. Whatever platform you are joining us on, video platforms, our podcasts, website, whatever platform, thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. And thank you for your consistency around the Word of God. Let's bow our heads, share a word of prayer, and dive right into the Word tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your loving kindness. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for watching over your Word to perform it. Thank you, Father, for every good thing that we're experiencing. You are such a faithful Father. You're so loving, so kind, so merciful. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Have your way in this service, in this teaching service, as we get around your Word. Precious Holy Spirit, grant us great illumination. Open our eyes. Open the eyes of our understanding. Help us, Lord, to be able to receive a revelation of divine truth. Help us, Father, to be able to press in and press forward into the things that you've prepared for us tonight. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Welcome and thank you so much again. For almost 6 months, or about 6 months, we have been studying together the theme, Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Oh my goodness, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The revelation is getting deeper. The Holy Spirit is really doing something amazing here. Just so much clarity, so much power in the Word of God. I'm sure you are experiencing the same thing. If you've been joining us every week, if you've not been with us, and maybe you've just recently joined us or you are new entirely, I encourage you to take advantage of the recordings, the prior sessions, previous sessions that we've already done. You can find the video recordings on our different platforms or the podcast, the audio recordings on our podcast as well. But you'll be well served to have some foundation. This is such a crucial aspect of our spiritual growth and spiritual well-being. I remember telling someone this past week, this is one of the most important areas that that believers need to have a measure of understanding in to be able to do well spiritually. This is really one of the most crucial areas, and in this area, this is not an area where someone can lay hands on us and pray for us and then we receive an impartation to lay hold on the ability to renovate our minds, elevate our lives. No, this is an aspect of our spiritual walk with the Lord that requires a lot of committed grinding in the Word of God, where we're focused on growing, hearing the Word, studying the Word ourselves, meditating the Word, going back, turning it over and over and over in our spirit until the revelation of this different things sink within our spirit. And I trust God that each of us will be faithful stewards to do what is required, that our minds become renovated and our lives become elevated. Let's go right back to our, theme scripture in Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 8. The word of God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways." That means the Lord is telling us, when our thoughts become aligned with his thoughts, and our ways are our doings, the doings that are a product of our thinking, right? The whole essence of having thoughts that align with the thoughts of God is so that we can do the things of God. We can practice the ways of God. We can walk in the ways of God. And when we walk in the ways of God, we will experience days of heaven on the earth. Hallelujah. He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. When our thoughts become aligned with God's thoughts and our minds are renovated to begin to think like God thinks, in line with the word of God, and we begin to walk in his ways, we do. The doing is one of the most important things. We'll get into that a little bit tonight. We've talked so much about for the last 5.5-6 months, just the power of the word and even the steps, how the Holy Spirit, how this walk of renovation happens. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, that's our New Testament one, theme scripture amongst so many others, but I don't have a lot of time for revision tonight. So I'm going to just move right on. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed. Don't be aligned with this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've already learned the renovation of our minds happens in two major ways. Number one, by the washing of regeneration by the water of the word of God. We see that in Titus chapter 3. And number two, by the transformation work, the renewal work of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. Amen. But in addition to the ways in which the Lord helps us accomplish the work of renovating our minds, there are steps that we have identified that we should be taking, right? A lot of those steps, the ones that we have already dealt with, the two primary ones that we started with and we have been discussing over the last month or so, are focused very strongly on how we take responsibility for engaging the word of God, in reformatting, reprogramming our minds, right? The first step we identified was to brainwash ourselves with the truth of the word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them by thy truth, O God, your word is truth." Sanctify them by your truth, your word is true. And the Bible says that we should gird up the loins of our minds with the belt of truth, right? To surround our minds, to brainwash our minds with the truth of the word of God. We have said this several weeks in a row, but it bears repetition, though I'm not doing extensive reviewing. But every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of divine truth. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of divine truth. The moment we lay hold on the divine truth of the word of God and begin to accept that truth and begin to receive it and begin take it in, the process of renovation advances. Amen. So brainwashing our minds with the truth of the word of God. The Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Everything in the word of God is true. God is not a man, Numbers 23:19, that he should lie. He's not the son of man, that he should repent. Amen. So when we lay hold on the revelation of divine truth in different areas of our lives, what is truth? What is truth regarding our spiritual well-being? What is truth regarding our finances? What is truth regarding our relationships, our families? What is truth regarding our ministries? What is truth regarding our business? What is truth regarding our careers? What is truth regarding our emotions, our emotional well-being? What is truth regarding our physical healing, our physical well-being? What is the divine truth? When we lay hold on the revelation of divine truth in these different areas of our lives and accept them, receive them, begin to receive them, the renovation of our mind, that process advances. So that's the first one. The second one, which we talked about 2 weeks in a row recently, is what we described as flooding the zone of our minds with the word of God. This is where we were even last week, to reformat and reprogram our mind with the word of God, to feed our mind continually with the word and start actively challenging the junk that we have always imbibed, the junk that we've always accepted, right? To start challenging all of that junk and to reprogram. This is very important where our subconscious is concerned. We've talked a lot about this. You know, all of us experience things where you hear yourself say something, or you find yourself responding a certain way to something you heard or something you saw or something somebody said to you. And a lot of things well up from within you. Some of them are really deep and you can't shake them. Some of them are upsetting. Some of them are just frustrating. Some of them are upsetting. Some of them are angering. Some of them are, they create all sorts of emotions within us. And sometimes we wonder, where did that come from? Right? Where did that come from? Somebody said to me recently, when they hear this or when they see this, they are triggered. There's something, the word triggered means there's something in the subconscious that comes back up. Sometimes we didn't even realize it was there. Or sometimes, many times we thought, oh, it was there, but we thought we overcame it. We thought, oh, that's done with, I'm done with that. But something is said or something is done. And sometimes the people who say these things and the people who do those things may not even realize the impact of what they're doing, but it triggers something within us. That's because there are a lot of things in our subconscious that need to be reprogrammed and reformatted. This is very powerful. This is very important. Very important to flood the zone of our minds with the word of God, like this, like a sponge. You soak it in the word. Right? you soak that thing in the word so that when it is squeezed, the only thing that oozes out is the word of God, not the junk, not all the negative, not the hurts from years ago, not the bad experiences from decades ago, not things that we experienced a few months ago that were damaging to us. No. We soak our minds in the word of God. All of us need to do this. no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long you've been working with the Lord, on a consistent basis, there are different areas of our lives where we've got to get into the Word and we've got to say this, and this. What I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing right now. These thoughts and these emotions that are coming at me right now, I take hold of you in the name of Jesus, and I am putting you aside, but I am believing what God said about me. Where fear begins to rise up, and anxiety and worry, and we get concerned and we start feeling insecure because of certain things that we may be dealing with, we put those things aside and we get into the Word of God. We get into the Word of God and we begin to speak the Word to ourselves. We flood the zone of our minds. Recently, something happened and I heard this situation somebody was going through, and immediately these words started to flow out of me from the 16th Psalm, and I started to speak it to them. The Lord is the portion of your inheritance. He maintains your lot. The boundary lines are falling onto you in pleasant places. Hallelujah. You have a goodly inheritance. This is all from Psalm 16. I had meditated that particular scripture over and over and over in certain areas of my life, whether sometimes way back then, years and years of just standing and fighting to hold on to the things that God had given to me personally, when there were no guarantees or assurances that those things will remain mine. This was one of the scriptures that I had flooded the zone of my mind with, so that every time any kind of stimulus comes at me where it begins to threaten my security and the my possession of the things that God has made a reality in my life. These words in Psalm 16 just start coming. No, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He secures and he maintains my lot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The boundary lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly inheritance. I have a goodly inheritance. To flood the zone of your mind is a very crucial aspect of the process of renovating the mind. Remember that scripture that we read a couple of weeks in a row in Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, where it says to break up your fallow grounds. Break up your fallow grounds. That means the heart, the fallow ground of the mind, the fallow ground of the heart, right? Break up those fallow grounds. It says, don't sow your seed among thorns, right? And then it says, circumcise your heart before the Lord. Hallelujah. Circumcise your heart before the Lord until in Hosea chapter 10 verse 8, until the Lord rained down righteousness. He rained down righteousness upon you. Glory to God. This is a scripture we've read quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. Jeremiah 4 verse 3. Break up, thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow grounds and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And then also similarly in the book of Hosea, in the book of Hosea and chapter 10, I really love this in the New Living Translation, but I'm already 20 minutes in and I'm just about done with revising. I need to get into new material, but you remember we read this from the New Living Translation where in the King James, it says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. In the Amplified, it says, sow for yourselves according to righteousness, uprightness and right standing with God. Reap according to mercy and loving kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, to inquire for him and require his favor until he comes and teaches you righteousness and rains his righteous gift of salvation upon you. Now in the New Living Translation, it talks about breaking up the fallow grounds of our hearts and our minds until there is a rain of righteousness and we reap a harvest of love. And this is so powerful, to break up the fallow grounds, just like it tells us in Mark chapter 4, when the sower sows the seed, to make sure that there's an environment within our minds that's conducive for the well-being of the seeds that are sown. If not, like that stony ground in Mark chapter 4, the word will produce nothing. Hallelujah. So that was the second step. Now let's get into the third step tonight. Third step to renovating our minds and elevating our lives. This is where we get into. This is really focused on the do. This third step is focused on the do, the doing. The first two steps were really focused on taking the word and using the word and getting the word and applying the word. And this next step is focused on doing. Remember in Isaiah chapter 55, which we read earlier, the Lord said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, right? So there are the thoughts and then there are the ways. The thoughts are in the mind. Thoughts are in the mind, right? And renovating our minds primarily deals with our thoughts. But renovating our minds also very strongly, actually this is one of the most important aspects of renovating our minds, has to do with the doing, with the ways, the walking in the ways, the doing, the obedience to the word. The third step, walk in obedience to every instruction in God's word. Walk in obedience to every instruction in God's word. Oh my goodness, we can be scriptorians. We can have so much revelation, so much knowledge. I mean, look at this. We've been at this theme, renovate your mind, elevate your life, for 6 months. And we can have so much head knowledge, and we can have so much revelation, and we can have so much understanding, so much light. But all of that light will account for nothing if we don't do something about it. The doing is where the fruit is. The doing is where the harvest is. To walk in obedience. To walk in obedience. Let's start out from Job chapter 36 and verse 11. Job chapter 36 and verse 11. We have a number of scriptures to read tonight. So I hope your devices are ready, or your Bibles, if you have your Bibles like I have mine here, you're ready to flip like you flipped last week. Last week was so exciting. I know we went through the different kinds of minds, the different kinds of expressions of the mind that the New Testament tells us about. When the mind is not renovated, all those different expressions are things that we deal with. The double-mindedness, the feeble-mindedness, the defiled mind, the blinded mind, the reprobate mind, the futile mind, the vain mind. All of those are the things that people deal with when the mind is not renovated. But even when the mind is renovated, there's always an aspect of our mind where all of these different expressions still exist, and we have to constantly take the word of God and take these processes that we've learned and that we are learning, apply them to our minds, apply them to different situations that come up. When double-mindedness comes up, doubt, and we find ourselves begin to vacillate between opinions. We find ourselves, we're not really resolute. We're not confident in the promises of the Lord. We've got to take the word. That's another opportunity to renovate our mind further. Take the word and make sure that double-mindedness is addressed by the power of the Word of God until that tendency begins to recede from our minds. Feeble-mindedness, when the mind is weak and discouraged and sometimes wondering if God will come through. You know, when your mind is strongly renovated, you are confident in God. You're just confident, regardless of what you see, the Red Sea, the giants, the Goliaths, you just know God, the fire, the burning fiery furnace. You just know the Lord is with me. I don't care how badly they heat this furnace, the Lord will carry me through. The Lord will bring me out. There will be no weakness. Now, there might be elements of fear and concern, right? But the more renovated your mind is, the more assured you are in the Word of God, the more confident you are about His promises coming through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, walking in obedience to every instruction in the Word of God. What is the third step to renovating our minds and elevating our lives? Walking in obedience to every instruction in the Word of God. Let's read this. Job chapter 36 and verse 11. He says this. We'll read 11 and 12. I'm going to read verse 16 actually also. I'm going to read verse 16 in the Amplified version. I love the way verse 16 reads in the Amplified. Look at verses 11 and 12. If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. You know, prosperity and pleasures means you are well, means all is well with you. If they obey and serve Him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. However, but if they obey not, then they will perish by the sword and they will die without knowledge. So even though they have a lot of knowledge, even though, wow, they've been studying how to renovate the mind for 6 months, but if they don't obey Him, if they don't walk in obedience, the Bible says they will die and perish without knowledge. All of that knowledge will be for nothing. That knowledge can't help us if we are not walking in obedience, if we are not doing the Word. To do the Word is what it means to walk in obedience, is to do the Word. Is to do the Word, is to do it, is to carry it out, not just to hear it, not just to know it. Remember in the New Testament, we'll probably read that next week. I don't think I can get to that tonight. Jesus said to some of the people, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you are not doing what I'm saying? It's so easy to know it. It's so easy to have knowledge. It's so easy to be able to, I heard it. I was in the convention. Oh, I've heard that. I have that study Bible. I know it. But that's not the question. The question is, are you doing? The doing is one of the most important factors that affects our ability to get our minds renovated. You're doing. Our minds respond to our lives of obedience. Look at it. If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they will perish by the sword and they will die without knowledge. I want you to read with me verse 16 in the Amplified. It says, indeed, God would have allured you out of the mouth of distress into a broad place where there is no situation of perplexity or deprivation, and that which will be set on your table would have been full of fatness. But all of that did not happen because you did not walk in obedience. All of that. One of our popular scriptures on this series of studies, 2 Timothy 1:17, 1:7. God has not given unto us the spirit of fear, But he has given unto us the spirit of power, spirit of love, spirit of a sound mind. Amen. Yeah. God has not given to us the spirit of fear. He's given to us love, power, sound mind. Yes. So we have soundness of mind. We should have soundness of mind. But if we do not walk in obedience, the soundness of mind that we have been given will really not come into manifestation. Rather than walk in soundness of mind, we will be walking in the spirit of fear. If we don't walk in obedience, we are not protected. He says, look at it again in the Amplified. God would have allured you out of the mouth of distress into a broad place where there is no situation of perplexity or deprivation, and that which would be set on your table would have been full of fatness. But it didn't happen. That prosperity that the Lord would have guaranteed you did not happen because you did not walk in obedience. Walking in obedience is crucial to having the ability to renovate our mind. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. It's a very popular piece of scripture. Isaiah chapter 1 verses 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 1 verses 19 and 20. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. If you are willing and obedient. Willingness is of the mind. Obedience is the act of the body, the act of the physical life. If you are willing, if you've received the word of God, if you take that word that you have received, and if you allow that word to condition your mind, and you take the instructions of that word, and you begin to do it, then the Bible says you will eat the fruit of the land. That elevation is bound to happen for you. Isaiah chapter 1, glory to God, verses 11 and 12, sorry, verse 19 actually, 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, he says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and you rebel, then you will be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If you will be willing and obedient, willingness is of the mind. One of the aspects of our soul is our will. The soul comprises our will, our emotion, our intellect, our desires. Amen. If you are willing, if you condition your mind to where you are willing, your mind is yielded to the will of God, and then you do in obedience, the Bible says you will eat the fruit of the land. That renovation will advance rapidly. Renovation of our minds will advance rapidly. There is no renovation of the mind when we walk in disobedience. If we walk in disobedience, or we are not willing to do the instructions of the Lord, our mind will not be renovated. No matter how much we know, no matter how much knowledge and revelation we have. Look at it. If you are willing and obedient, then you will eat the good of the land. It's a must. It is guaranteed. Like we read in Job chapter 36, verse 11. If they serve and if they obey and serve him, they will live their lives in prosperity and their years in pleasure. It is a given. Renovation of the mind, elevation of the life is a given when we walk in obedience. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at it. It says, but if you refuse, verse 20, if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let's read one more scripture here in the Old Testament, and let's go over to the New Testament and read a couple of scriptures before our time is up tonight. I want us to go back to a scripture that we've read so many times over the years, but one that is actually was a major part of our studies on the wisdom of God. Even earlier on in this year, when we were studying different aspects of the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. But I actually want to read this. I know way back then we used to read just verse 16, but I want to read it all the way. I want to read Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, and then I'm going to read all the way, probably all the way down to verse 20. Hallelujah. I want you to, if you can, I want you to see that, look at that scripture with me tonight. This is a scripture we've read so many times over and over again. Again, when we're talking about discovering the wisdom of God, right? But tonight I want you to read it. It's a bit fuller as we put a lot of meat on bones tonight. As we take our studies on renovating the mind, elevating your life, as we take our studies deeper than where we have been and put a lot more meat on the bone than we have been doing, I want you to incline your heart and I want you to put your eyes on some of these scriptures with me tonight. Amen. Well, we'll do a lot of this tonight and we'll do some more of it next week, and we'll see if we're able to complete that before we'll move on to our next step. Look at this in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And then do what? Walk therein. That's the doing. See, notice, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? It's a lot of what we have been doing over the last 6 months. Getting access, getting revelation of which is the good way? Where is that good? How do we getting access to revelation of divine truth? But then notice, it doesn't end there. It says, and walk therein. And then what will happen when you walk therein? Then you will find rest for your souls. But what did they say? They said, we will not walk therein. Notice, they found out, they did obey a part of the instruction to stand in the way and ask, where is the good way? Now you can do all of that. You can find out, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I'm supposed to go. This is how the Lord expects me to address this area of my life. Okay, good. But it doesn't end there. It says, and then walk therein. Because if you walk therein, then it says you'll find rest for your souls. Well, what if you don't walk therein? Will there still be rest for your souls if you don't walk therein? No, no, no. If you don't walk in obedience to the instruction of the Word of God, will you still have a renovated mind? No. Will you still have an elevated life? No. Walk therein, he said. And then you will find rest for your souls. But what did they say? They said, no, we will not walk therein. They didn't say we will not stand in the way and find out. They didn't say we will not attend Bible study. They didn't say we will not get revelation. They didn't say, no, we will not week after week get understanding of a lot of the things that the Lord wants to share with us. They didn't say we won't do that. But when it came to the walking therein, they said, no, we won't do that. Look at verse 17. He says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. What did they say? They said, we will not hearken. We will not pay attention. We will not do it. We will not walk in obedience. Notice obedience, their lack of obedience is what got these people in the mess that they were in. They knew a lot. They knew so much more than the average person. They had so much knowledge. But they said, we will not walk therein. We will not hearken. Right? Look at verse 18. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon these people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Notice now. I will bring evil upon these people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but they have rejected it. So everything began with thoughts, but their thoughts will work against them. Their thoughts will not be aligned. It will not produce the fruit of prosperity and favor and an elevated life that God has for them. Why? Because of their lack of obedience. The fruit of the thoughts were a result of their lack of doing. Look at verse 20. To what purpose? To what purpose then come there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? Why are you making all these sacrifices? Why are you doing all this? You know, they say, oh, we worship the Lord. Oh, we give, we tithe. Oh, we serve. We go on evangelism. Oh, I'm an usher. I sing in the praise team. I'm a preacher. I teach. To what purpose is all that sacrifice if you will not obey the instructions that the Lord has given you? Our minds are not renovated just because we hear the word. Our minds are renovated, continue to be renovated, because we are doing the word. We are doing it. It's not just knowing it, it's the doing it. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 17, we'll read it next week if we can get to it. If you know these things, happy are you, or blessed are you if you do them. If you know these things, happy, blessed. And those two words are powerful. Happy means your soul, your mind is in the right place. There's peace, there's joy. If you know these things, happy are you, blessed are you if you do them. That's John 13, 17. It's the knowing is not enough. The acquisition and accumulation of knowledge is not sufficient. I know the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yeah, knowledge, it begins from knowledge, but it does not end with knowledge. When we have the knowledge, then we've got to do the doing. We've got to do the doing. Hallelujah. He said, what is the use of all this sacrifice? Jeremiah 6 verse 20. What purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. I know you are worshiping. Yes, you are giving, you are fasting and praying. Yes, but you are not obeying the instructions that I gave you. Instead, all your sacrifices mean nothing. That your burnt offering means nothing to me. You've heard that scripture. You've heard this scripture before. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You've heard it. We'll get to it. I think we'll get to it later on. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Without obedience, your sacrifices are not acceptable to God. Without obedience, our sacrifices, no matter what they are, no matter how good, no matter how much they take from us, without obedience, our sacrifices are not acceptable to him. Amen. The renovation of the mind is incumbent on our commitment to walking a life and living a life of obedience. To every instruction, every command that the Lord gives to us. Hallelujah. It's not enough to hear it. It's not enough to know it. It's not enough to access it. We actually have to obey it. We actually have to obey it. Renovation follows obedience. Just like salvation follows obedience. Renovation follows obedience. Nobody is going to be saved because they heard the gospel preached. Hearing the gospel preached is the first step. But then what you do with the gospel that you heard is what actually consummates your salvation. Every blessing, every eternal blessing in the kingdom of God, in this spiritual realm, begins with knowledge, but is consummated by obedience. Every single one. Every single one of them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to the New Testament and let's look at the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go there to the New Testament. Read a couple of scriptures there. This is so crucial. This is so important. You know what? Before we go to Hebrews, let's be done. Let's be done with much of the Old Testament. I might be able to come back and read a couple more scriptures there. But just before we leave and go to Hebrews 5, let's quickly read Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10. Quick. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10. Look at it. This is so powerful. Glory to God. Make this confession of faith with me. My mind is being renovated with the word of God. My life is being elevated to live days of heaven upon the earth as I commit completely to living a life of obedience. As I commit completely to living a life of obedience. That's where it's consummated, is in the obedience. Glory to God. Look at Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him and her. For they shall eat the fruit of their doing. I love that. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him and her. For they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Notice he didn't say they shall eat the fruit of their learning. Notice he didn't say they shall eat the fruit of their hearing. Notice he didn't say they shall eat the fruit of their knowledge. He says, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Glory to God. The doing is what produces the fruit. Notice, it is the doing that produces the fruit. It is not the learning. The learning is very important. It is not the hearing. The hearing is very important. Being able to remember is awesome. That's very important. But it is not the being able to remember, the ability to remember, that creates the fruit. The harvest is a product of the doing. Glory to God. It is the obedience that produces the harvest. It is the obedience that produces the salvation. It is the obedience that produces the renovation. It is the obedience that produces redemption. No matter how much you know, no matter how much you have access to, it is your acting on the word of God. It is your doing what God said to do. When you hear God said, go do this, and you do it. You don't rejoice over gathering revelation and gathering knowledge. And then when it comes to doing, then you say, well, pastor, you don't understand. My situation is very peculiar. I mean, in my situation, that thing the Lord is asking me to do, I don't know. I don't know that I can. Really? How peculiar can that situation be? Can it be so peculiar that it is over peculiar for the word of God? The word of God cannot address it? Oh, pastor, you know, it's very complicated. How complicated can it be? How complicated can it be? It is the doing that produces the fruit. The harvest is in the doing. Notice, let's read that scripture one more time before we go over to the New Testament. My time is almost gone here tonight. Glory to God. Look at it. Say ye, Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go and read about the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read from verse 8 to 10. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 8 to 10. Let's read about the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 8. Look at what it says here. Even though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And because he learned obedience and he walked in obedience, the Bible says he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Not all them that hear him. Not all them that gather knowledge about him. No, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Glory to God. The obedience is what produces the salvation. The obedience is what produces the renovation. I want to say a few words to you here before we close out tonight. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The absolute best thing. I want you to remember this. I want you to save this somewhere. I want you to store it somewhere where you would never forget this. The absolute best thing you can do to secure your well-being today and in the future, and to secure the well-being of your family and your loved ones forever, is to obey God. The absolute best thing you can do to secure your well-being today and into the future tomorrow, and to secure the well-being of your family, your loved ones forever, the best, absolute best thing you can do is to obey God. Absolute best thing. Absolute. This is, if you want the answer, Lord, what can I do to secure my well-being, the well-being of my loved ones today, tomorrow, and forever? Simple. Obey God. Obey God. Let's read a couple of scriptures as we get ready to close out tonight. Let's read first from Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. We'll go close out. We'll go back to the Old Testament and close out in Deuteronomy chapter 5 as well. Glory to God. Let's read first though. Let's read first of all Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. Romans chapter 5. And verse 19, look at what it says here. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Through the obedience of one, many became unrighteous and became sinners. But through the obedience of one, through the disobedience of one, that's Adam in the garden, many became sinners. Many became unrighteous. I want you to see how this plugs in to generational lines. I want you to see how this plugs in to your well-being today, tomorrow, into the future. I want you to see how this plugs in to the well-being of your family today, tomorrow, in the future. Notice, for by the obedience, hallelujah, this is Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What are we learning tonight as we get ready to close? The steps to renovating our mind. What is this step, this third step? Walking in obedience to every instruction that God gives you. As by one man's disobedience, Renovation of the mind is not possible if we live in disobedience. It's not possible. That mind will continually be surrounded and expressing rebellion if we do not obey every instruction that the Lord gives to us. See how God, let's close out in Deuteronomy 5. See how much the Lord loved the commitment of these people to walk in obedience. And see how he secured their well-being and secured the well-being of the generations after them. Let's close out then Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Glory to God. Glory to God. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's read it from verse 27. Look at it. It says, Go thou near. This is the people were telling Moses, you know, Moses, I've got to close. My time is almost up here. But Moses was the go-between, as you know. The people were telling Moses, you go and receive the instructions from the Lord. And whatever the Lord tells you, we will do it. Notice he said, go get the instruction, come and tell us. Whatever the Lord tells you, we will do it. And God was so pleased with them. He said in verse 27, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it, and we will do it. They didn't just say we will hear it, full stop. No, we will hear it, comma, and we will do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they will fear me and keep all my commandments always, so that it might be well with them and their children forever. It was the absolute best thing you and I can do to secure our well-being today, tomorrow, into the future, to secure the well-being of our loved ones today and forever. The absolute best thing, obey God. Because they look at this. He said, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they will fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. The last verse 33, he says, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Father, we honor you tonight. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. Thank you for your mighty presence. Thank you for your word. We receive it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Saints, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.